It's for me and my wife. I grew up in Adams. Like to get back there. Yeah, I've spoke with Brian Little on multiple occasions about this being a potential issue. I've talked with Myron Dorn about this as well. He's okay. Brian Little's okay with me moving in. I understand the risk, potential smell, all that. I used to work at a truck wash for 4 years, so I'm accustomed to it. Hopefully this goes through and I'll be able to build a house with my wife and I can start a family in Adams, Nebraska.
The one person who is in opposition, and I don't mean to belabor the point, how far away would that house be from yours?
They actually discussed that in that meeting and be a little bit over 1,000 feet. The previous committee talked about
at the zoning public hearing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of what this is, we were set back of a half mile, or a little over 2,600 feet from that livestock facility because of the animal unit numbers. The animal unit numbers are high enough that requires for a house, if a house was to be built, it had to have that setback, not to be a special use permit. I think the distance is around 2,300 and some feet.
Yeah, I was about 200 feet short.
He's that much within the required setback, and that's why it required special use permit, and that's why he's going through this process or whatever. So,
Roger, how does the code deal with bay window obstruction?
If it wasn't for the livestock facility, I think Myron was getting at it. If it wasn't for the livestock facility, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything. Your administrator would have just signed off on it.
Yeah,
I think Eric and I are being coy on this.
Yes, I hear you.
We appreciate you going through it. I will make one other comment. I did testify at the zoning public hearing in favor of Jacob building the house and stuff. He will be within a little more than a mile away from my current residence. I've known Jacob and his wife for a long time. That will be a tremendous addition to the area. Since the public hearing of the zoning board, I've had multiple neighbors come up to me and comment about how they hope this goes through or how this should be approved. So the neighborhood is very, very much in support of Jacob because even yesterday, again, I had somebody stop me driving the grain truck and had to visit about this, that would there be a problem with this going through? And I says, no, this should definitely pass. So thank you for taking the time and going through all this process, Jacob.
Oh, absolutely. I respect the process.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to add is I just want to thank you for taking care of dotting the I's and crossing the T's, talking to your neighbors and doing all those things.
Yes.
This one isn't as contentious as some of the others that we've had recently, but it makes a big difference when the applicant is willing to go out and do a little legwork, communicate with the people that you're going to be neighbors to. And you obviously have done that, and it helps greatly in the process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We're also happy to see you come back to Gage County.
Yes. I'm excited to be back. I've got a lot of family here. My parents are here. My grandparents are here. Well, I got 11 nieces and nephews in Freeman, or nieces and nephews and cousins. So, yeah, it's good to be back.
Well, your neighbors are watching, so you better make sure you catch your
grass. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Anyone else for the public hearing for comment? If not, I'll entertain a motion at 9:49 on the clock to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle.
Bauman.
Oh, motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Never mind. Yep. Thank you.
It's unusual, but you...
Vote 6-0 in favor. Next up, and this I told Don to include, discuss and approve or disapprove resolution special use permit 2017-5 to construct a resident next to a livestock facility in the northeast fourth of section 15, township 6 north, range 8 east, Adams Township. In the past, we've always waited 2 weeks to do that. I made comments at the other meeting, I believe, that I feel that there are situations where we're just delaying the process another 2 weeks. This is on here to approve or disapprove. If anybody would like to make the motion to delay it 2 weeks, I think this is the time then where they get to have that motion and we delay it 2 weeks. Instead of automatically making it 2 week delay, I think we should vote on making it a 2 week delay. That still leaves that in there that we as a board decided to do that and not automatic. Because I think in this situation with nobody coming forward, nobody not in favor of it. Everybody, I think, in support of it. I think this board should do, I call it a proactive thing, and go ahead and vote to approve this permit.
And I would move to approve the resolution, special use permit.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. Now, discussion. Gary?
I think that due diligence has been done on this one. Affected party has sent in a letter of support for what Jacob's wanting to do here. So you don't have any affected parties that are, I mean, granted the individual with the bay window obstruction is affected, but it's not anything that is possible to stop moving forward. I think this is one of the rare occasions where it is something I think that we possibly could move forward without the 2 weeks.
And I think we've created kind of an informal process that we've always done that, because we don't have a standing rule that we would have to vote to, right, to abstain,
no,
from. So
right,
or to change or
right.
To, so that's
it's something that over time, and when we first did that, I don't remember what or why, but I remember the first time we did it, there was enough questions that came about at that okay. public hearing that we didn't have answers for. Yep. And we as a board felt we needed to get more answers. And in my mind, anytime we have a permit like that, that we have questions or answers that we need to check out, I'm fine with delaying it 2 weeks. But when we have permits that me sitting here today, I don't see where we need to delay this 2 weeks, because I don't see where we need to go and check things out. That I think there's times where we can approve these and be proactive. I'll just make that comment.
And in this situation, there's no reason to delay this whatsoever.
Right.
None.
So,
Mr. Chairman, before you vote, and I hate to harp on it, go through your seven guidelines, either the Mr. Lytle or Mr. Bauman as the movements, and note how the evidence that came forward satisfied it. Because even though this one's not contentious, we have to. Yeah, well, we always want to do that as a matter of practice.
Well, Byers made the motion to approve.
Byers did.
I just closed the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
Byers and Lytle, right?
Yep.
Byers
I had to think too much.
Thiemann.
And Thiemann?
It's these two over here.
And wrote this resolution in accordance with the comprehensive plan. It doesn't change the character of the district, although it is a little, it's within that setback area, but it'd still be the same character.
When again, it's AG2, keep in mind that's your transitional.
Okay, and it's compatible, so it's compatible with stated use of the district. It's not going to depreciate the value of surrounding structures. It's not detrimental to adjacent properties with the agreement that there is a livestock facility that could grow in the future. It doesn't require rezoning. And it is similar to the other use of the district, so that hits all seven.
Thank you.
Oh,
yes, went to the highway department and came.
The Don here, the highway department or the zoning did receive a letter. This probably should have been in public hearing, but this is a letter that from Gary Cruzy, the owner of the west one half of Section 15, which is the section that he's building in Adams Township. Welcome, Jacob and Jasmine. Ash Road does need more material. When wet, as ash is dangerous. And the three, Thelma Cruzy owns part of that ground, Grant and Laura Frankie and Gary and Linda Cruzy, is a letter in support of that Don is going to enter as public record also in this permit.
The township road?
It's a township road, yes. Ash Road's a township road. So
don't call us.
No.
Call Adam Township.
Feel free to call Byron still.
Okay. We have a motion and a second for resolution. It's 17-5.
27. 17.
Oh, hold it.
See, that's a special use that you look at.
Oh, okay. 17 dash what?
17-27 is my number. The other one is the PNZ number.
For the resolution, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Jacob. Do you need something signed or not? Or no, not by me, probably by the zoning if you do. Otherwise, you will have your permit. right? The zoning, Nancy?
Oh, we should have asked him if he wanted to clean before we approved that.
Thank you, Jacob.
Gus can hold you up.
10 o'clock, we do have a public hearing for purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observation of taxpayers related to the following proposed fiscal year 17-18 county budget. We're at 9:56 on the clock, so
library contract.
If anybody is here to talk on the public hearing, we have a sign-up sheet over here.
Myron, what? We should now get the library contract then.
Oh, okay. We got time to do that then. Okay, approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Library Board of the City of Beatrice for a service to Gage County residents.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. There is one in the contract in your paperwork. This is the same as previous years. It's from July 1st, 2017, and ends on June 30th, 2018. And it's so all persons who reside in Gage County, Nebraska, will be eligible for free membership and library card for use at Beatrice Public Library. It says all persons who reside in Gage County other than the residents of the city of Beatrice will be eligible for free membership and a library card for the use of the Beatrice Public Library. And it is for a fee of, or compensation of $23,000. Matt.
And just like this agreement with the agreement with the Humane Society and the agreement with the EMS districts, we're not bound by statute to do that. It's in support of the community for services that these private entities are providing.
I think the thing to remind people here is then that they get a free membership card or use of that library. So that's what we're part of this is for. So any more discussion? Vote 6-0 in favor, and then we'll go on to the next one. Approve or disapprove agreement between the Gage County and the Library Board of the City of Wymore for services to Gage County residents.
Move to approve.
Sorry.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Byers. This is a similar agreement. That's the wrong one. I'm going to read that one. Yeah, I was looking for the compensation. This is for $3,600 for compensation for...
you don't have a big enough copy.
Wymore Library. Discussion? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor. And then we also have, we got time for one more yet, the approve or disapprove the agreement between Gage County and the Beatrice Humane Society in the amount of $17,000.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion by Byers and a seconded by Bauman. Nope, Thiemann.
Did you
Thiemann.
Mark or did you say
Thiemann?
Second.
Second.
Oh.
Motion to approve. Yes, thank you.
They've fallen all over themselves to get on that one.
Oh.
He was panting.
And I believe I even saw on the news today that from the hurricane down south, going in Texas, Harvey, that there are some animals coming up to the Beatrice Humane Society.
I think that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, I heard that today, that some of those that have been misplaced or whatever, they're coming up here. They've agreed to take some of those animals. So, any more discussion? And this is for $17,000 for the, that one, and that was the one that was increased a little bit. So,
in the winter time...
Vote. 6-0 in favor.
That's how he stops you.
So in the wintertime, people go south, and in the summertime, the pets come north.
Pets come north.
All right. Got that figured out. That's a long way to go.
You know, I didn't catch all of it, but they're apparently have a fair amount of lost or whatever you want to call them, animals, or misplaced. Or
part of the report I heard was that they, and again, I understand the emergency and how urgent it is, but they leave their animals in the home. And then call, like, Humane Society or 911 and say, can you go get my animals? I'll just leave that at that. A lot of love. Jeez.
That happened after Katrina, too, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, I think there's still issues because of that down there, with cats and stuff.
Oh, put them in your bag and take them.
Okay, it's 10 o'clock on the clock, so we have a timed event to have entertain a motion to go into public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations of taxpayers relating to the following proposed fiscal year 17-18 county budget.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Bauman. Vote 6-0 in favor. And like I said, if anybody would like to comment or whatever, we have a sign-up sheet over there, or come forward. Matt, well, I guess we don't make comments here. We'll make comments a little later. So,
look how content and happy.
Last chance, guys. There's a turnip up there. Start squeezing it.
Look how
guys serve. No, so let's just move on.
Look how content and happy the sheriff is with his budget.
Look at the smile on his face. Should the camera catch him?
No, maybe just
last chance or last call if anybody would like to speak.
Still
or
time to get that pizza, guess.
The school board didn't have anybody. Mine.
Yep.
Here you go. I would just like to say that I think this is pretty well constructed budget proposal. Pretty conservative again, and I think that this board has done a good job at coming to a number that, while I would like to see it be a flat budget, there's probably areas where we could make that happen. I think that this is prudent at this time. So, there's a few different things through there that I suppose we could discuss more, but, you know, it's really become splitting hairs. So, I think the committee has done a good job, and the board overall has looked through. I know I've combed through it pretty hard. And I know others on this board have done the same thing. I guess the one thing that I would say is that as a county, we need to look for more ways to continue to be efficient and more efficient all the time, and look for ways to save money. Moving forward, it's going to be more and more difficult to continue to ask for more dollars from the constituents of this county. So each one of our departments needs to make sure that they're looking at their budgets and figuring out what they can do to keep try and hold this budget steady moving forward, as opposed to looking at 3% and 4% increases on a yearly basis.
Any more comments?
We speak about the county budget every year, multiple meetings. We don't wait just 2 weeks before. We try to have that discussion a lot. I appreciate the feedback that the other board members get in their districts. We do want input. If somebody does, you know, we encourage people to look at this. If the public does have ideas, we want to know that. And I'm not trying to be a stinker here, but I ask people, where would you propose we make a cut? And it seldom is anything that's going to directly affect them. And so somebody's going to be out if we make significant reductions. And so, but I think we've been open to the conversation, and you know, sometimes we beat ourselves in the head pretty good to try and squeeze some stuff out. So we do appreciate the input. We talk about these at least 2 months before we even get to this day.
And you weren't trying to be a stinker, and you weren't, Matt.
No. All right. Matt made a good point. One of the things that I kind of forgot to say was that two of the departments that probably seen the bigger raises are places where I hear the most comments about, you know, needing to do a better job or more influence through the county, and that's, you know, the sheriff's department and the roads department. And to do what we did, I think is part of the prudent part of the budget is that you got to spend some money there if you're going to do the job.
And those were really the only departments that saw an increase, was the sheriff and corrections and roads, and unfortunately, even with the roads, it still leaves us getting farther behind on our asphalt maintenance.
Yeah, and I know Gusty, do you want to say something? Come on.
I was just going to mention, not necessarily on the budget for the jail, but I know you're going to decide later on the contract of Washington County.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you want to decide that first for approving the budget, because that might have effect on that. Otherwise, you know, like you said, it might put it over then anyway. So it's just food for thought anyway.
Just food for thought. That's food for thought. Yeah. That's an agenda item that we have yet is to discuss and approve or disapprove the agreement with Washington County, and we'll see where we end up with that. But my comment there is just so people are aware of us setting the budget and some of the dollar figures that are in there, is particularly the sheriff's total budget and the jail's total budget. And I think we're aware that there are some increased cost in housing outside inmates that continue to go up, and that we need to be aware of that as we set this budget and stuff. And I know we've included a higher amount. We've included $190,000 in that line, or that's where they've allocated the budget in that budget. That's where they've allocated in that line. But through some of our discussion, we're not sure that's going to be enough. So that's an ongoing concern, and we've had a lot of discussion about that. That's been 4 to 6 months, Matt. We've had discussion on that, not just a couple months. So we knew that as we go through this budget process. No, thank you for getting this done. And part of it is this needs to be approved and up to the state by 20th of September. So that's why today it's on the agenda.
And lest we take the credit, Dawn pours over this budget enormously, and she's very diligent. And I honestly appreciate the work she's done. We've worked together on the budget for years, and she kind of knows where I'm coming from, and I think she knows where the board's coming from. So there's a congruency there that makes it pretty smooth. So I do appreciate your efforts, and she's kind of the person behind the scenes, and she's the one that people go to when they don't like what we've done. So
she's fantastic. She takes care of us so well, and we should be so proud of having her as our county clerk.
She insulates us fantastic. Well, so I do appreciate that, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more discussion for the public hearing? If not, I'll entertain a motion at 10:07 on the clock to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Vote 6-0 in favor. The next item on the agenda then is approve or disapprove resolution setting 2017-2018 tax request at a different rate than the 2016-2017 tax request.
Don't we need to approve or disapprove the resolution adopting the budget first?
Your tax changing first. We're approving the tax changing and then that's
okay.
All right. I know. I think we do this every year. Yes. I think it just doesn't seem right. Does it?
No, it doesn't. Okay. Not in the right order.
I'll read a little bit of this.
I tried one more time.
I'll read the part of it that is pertaining to the 2016-17 and 2017-18. It says, whereas the following requirements were in said published notice, 2016-2017 property tax request was $9,299,754.14. Levy to fund that 2016-2017 tax request was .288082. The levy to fund last year's tax request, if were applied to the current valuation, would be .288090, because we changed valuations a little bit. It went down a little bit this year. The 2017-2018 property tax request is $9,606,548.26. The proposed levy to fund the 2017-2018 tax request is .297594.
I'd make a motion to approve resolution 17-28.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Other discussion.
Do we need to talk about that contract at all? If that's something we want to look into, will that change the?
No, that's an agenda item later here. When we'll talk about that contract,
it won't matter because it's.
Well, if you add any more to this agenda, we can pass the budget, but we'll have to republish our notice because that'll change your figures. Right. So, if that's the route you want to go,
never mind then.
We're not setting line items.
We're not setting line items.
Amount.
That's what's in the budget Gus has set forward. We've set his total budget and I don't have that in front of me, his total dollar amount. He's allocated that to each line.
He's allocated that though already in the Sheriff's Department budget.
Great. More discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Now we need to approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget for 2017-2018.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Lytle.
Is it Bauman?
Bauman, excuse me.
B-A-U-M and not B-Y-A-R-S.
I got to look up there at the name. Bauman and second by Lytle. And that's 17-29, resolution 17-29. And this one, I have a spot on here for everybody to sign. And Eric, I'll bring it up back up again a little bit. Part of it is, Gus, through his working with his budget, we set the total dollar amount. He fills out the individual lines, and he appropriates amounts to those or whatever. That is what currently his budget has now. It may be able to meet that. There's a good likelihood it won't.
Is it appropriate for us to decide if he's going to enter into an agreement then with another housing facility?
That's,
if it's his budget?
That's a discussion yet on the top of the next line.
In response to your question, any contracts with this county or another county will go through. Even though in that particular agreement, the sheriff signed it, neither of those sheriffs are signing it without the county board approving their going through with that. So...
Maybe just a general comment about the budget. If you look at and this is what's published, and this is what goes up to Lincoln, talks about the notice of budget hearing and budget summary. This always provides me angst, and I have to explain this a couple different times, which is fine. If you look at the actual disbursements, 2015-2016, you go to the bottom of that column, and it says roughly over $18.5 million there. And then if you come to the proposed disbursements, you would think, holy cow, what happened in... 2 years, you're proposing almost $8 million additional in expenditures. What's important to know is that there are things within the budget that are pass-through dollars. We have seen, you'll see visitors promotion, visitors improvement, where we just haven't had a whole lot of claims on those. So we have folks that haven't requested, but when they stay here, we still collect those dollars. You'll see increases. You'll see road and bridge sinking fund dollars where we show full expenditures. You'll see, one thing here is I know health insurance was supposed to get cheaper with the ACA, but you'll see now that it's not. So health insurance costs continue to go up, and we try to fund that appropriately. And the program that we have, and I think we've talked about this ad nauseum, it has been a significant savings to the county. So back in the day, and I wasn't even on the board then, that board that decided to do that, I think that was very smart. That's worked out very well for the county. So that was a good move. So you'll see those, and we do make transfers, and you'll see there's a road bond in there, and that was voter approved. But we do make transfers. Some of these funds can't, some of the funds can't spend. They can't collect the dollars themselves. They have to be transferred out of the general fund. So when you go through and you read the budget, people say, well, gosh, you're planning on spending so many more million than you did before. Well, if you just add up the expenditures, if you pick the budget up or the expenditures and you just start adding those up, you'll double count some items because they'll show up in the general fund, but then there's a transfer to Galen's budget or to the sheriff's budget, and then you'll double count that. And you'll see, well, actually, it transfers to your budget, not yours, but to your budget. So that'll get double counted. So it'll show like almost $5 million gets counted twice. So always be careful when folks just start going through and doing that. There is a method to that, and just to bring that to people's awareness. The important thing to know, I guess, what I tell people is where you look at a public body is what are the dollars, what more or less dollars are you asking for this year than the previous year? So outside of the voter-approved bond, we're asking for roughly $300,000 more to operate the county for the next fiscal year. So from about $9.3 million to $9.6 million. And that's what I tell people. And then it's a function of the levy and the valuation and how that all works out. So where the rubber meets the road is the county this county board is asking the taxpayers for roughly $300,000 more to run the county than last year and provide all the services that take place in the county.
Did Doug, did you and Scott each get a copy of this, or that would be great?
Well, the paper charges us to do this, so you ought to have a copy.
It was in your paper, Scott.
It was in your. I'm sure you can get a hold of
this.
It would be good public service for them to donate that to the county.
Scott, I thought I put one in there.
We'll make sure each of you, or before you leave, each of you get that, and it does. It explains that, and Matt is entirely right. A lot of these numbers, and through the past several years with the issues we've had with the Beatrice 6, a lot of people, when they call, they go, well, your budget's $26-28 million or whatever. And I go, no, our budget's not that. You know, it's hard to explain to them that just exactly what Matt said, some of these dollars, inheritance, if we have $2 million in there, we allocate that we're going to spend the whole $2 million even though we never spend it. So in our budget, that shows up as that full amount being allocated. Because if we don't allocate it, we can't spend it. We have to have a public hearing and come back to spend all of that if a situation arose that we'd have to. So a lot of those funds, they are maybe in there more than once when you look at our total budget of, right here it's $26,529,000. But when you come way over on the bottom line, and Matt is right, it's what we collect from the citizens, not we collect what the county has in tax asking. And this year, outside of the road bond, it will be $8,638,123. That does not include the 2013 road bond. That $9,606,000 does include the road bond. So way over there on the right in the bottom, that's the amount of dollars that we collect, the county collects in taxes to operate this fiscal year. There are a lot of other sources of income, so that's not the only source of income. There's gas tax and other things and all the things that come in. When we sell a car, all those things that come in, and those are kind of estimated. So all those things are used also for expenditures. But this paper here will help explain quite a bit of that or whatever. So make sure before you guys leave you get one of these or whatever. So anything else for the comment on Resolution 17-29? If not, vote 6-0 in favor.
Oh.
That one I got to pass on. Don't put that in my file. What about this one too? No.
No, just that.
That
just
one.
Yes.
Left on the agenda then is that the one we have discuss and approve or disapprove interlocal agreement between County of Washington, Kansas, and Gage County to house inmates and authorize Sheriff Millard Gustafson to sign agreement. I think everybody, hopefully everybody, if you can find it, everybody has a copy of the interlocal agreement with Washington County. But we put this on the agenda just so this doesn't, I mean, if we don't approve anything today, in 2 weeks we'll have it back on the agenda. I'll just make that comment. We've been discussing for several weeks, and we asked Gus to go out and visit with some of the different entities we're using to guarantee them we're going to use so many beds. And what this agreement in front of you is that Washington County, and it would be using 15 beds down there. We would pay them 15 beds whether we had 5 down there or 15. This price on this contract here was listed at $50 per day. But I thought, did you make some comment that since then they've agreed at the $45 a day, which Dawson County also would agree to. But Dawson County, as Gary said, they would only guarantee us that they would pick up one trip a week to Gage County. They would also enter into some type of agreement. So, Gus, if you want to come up and talk about it a little more.
Yes, Myron had asked me here a few weeks ago to start checking into this. We're kind of thinking out of the box on a few things. When I went to the neighbor to the south, because they've been really, really good to work with, and he was willing to do it for us. We, at that time, talked about 50. At that time, we were talking 15 beds. Just throw some numbers out there. Since then, I talked to Dawson County. They hadn't been asked that, approached with that before. They got back to me last week and said they would do it for 45. They couldn't promise more than one transport a week because they're tied in a lot to what they do with the federal prisoners in the court here in federal court in Lincoln. And then he also indicated if they had somebody that was a little bit of a radical, they want to swap out prisoners, which is something we do anyway with any county. We just bring them somebody that's not quite the problem and swap them out as a courtesy to them. It's going to be a problem for a lot of places. Odo County's been in contact with me. They've heard about me contracting with or dealing with Washington County. So they're looking, I think, Glenwood, Iowa, going across the river over there. So a lot of the facilities are having the same problems we are. They're all just figuring out what they can do. And so when I talked down there to Sheriff Cordray, I asked about the 45, so I absolutely said I can do that. And he's willing to do whatever it takes there. I know he had some state contracts that he's been honoring with the Department of Corrections down there, and he has started cutting back on that, just anticipating what happens here because he wouldn't be fair to us because we were the first ones to approach with this a year or so ago. So that's kind of where it is right now. The cells wouldn't be empty. Wherever, if we do this, it's going to be, that's where the prisoner is going to be. I'll keep the room here if I have any room, just for any fresh rest we have coming in. So we at least get a bang for the buck off whatever size number of beds we get. But anyway, he's more than willing to do it, so. Any questions?
Yeah. Well, I'll just comment. Just when you go over that, it must be at home when I read through that last night. When I, again, just go through, and I want to belabor the discussion, but there's a lot of folks that appear to be the highest number of misdemeanors that are incarcerated. And I guess it's just, and I'm telling you your business, but you know, when you take somebody's freedom, that's a big deal. And if it's a misdemeanor, and I appreciate the types of folks that y'all have to work with, they're at times some of the most unpleasant folks that are out there, but you know, from a numbers standpoint, if they're not a danger to themselves and others.
Some of the problem is, and Roger can attest to this, is they change it now where they can hold up to 2 years in county jails instead of one. They change things on probation now where if they violate, they have to come in and serve some of their sentence instead of going back to court. So that's all made a big difference on our population. Plus, we've just gotten busier. I mean, so I don't know. I know what you're saying, man. I just don't know if I'm the one that's going to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to lodge you. If we're getting full, we're just going to kick you loose. That might be some issues for the county, and that's something certainly Roger could deal with. I mean,
And I'm looking at a number on a paper and a column.
I know.
And the circumstances when your officers, your deputies approach somebody, if the Joe Public or Sue Public becomes a stinker and starts to resist, then they basically bought a bed themselves. So I don't know all the circumstances. I'm just looking at a number on the paper when it says misdemeanor and incarceration. It just seems like, wow. That's
all. Well, we just had one yesterday. I have quite a few of these in the courthouse that come to court for suspension. They go out, get the car and drive away, and get arrested. Yep. It's just, and so you can't give old guys a ticket because they're not understanding what the judge is telling them. Don't drive. And that happens a lot here. I mean, that's an example of how it goes. So, yeah.
So Washington is agreeable to $45 a day.
Yes.
Would they be agreeable to 12 beds, guaranteed?
Yes. He'll do whatever helps us out. He said he's more than willing to help on that. So if we opt to go down from 15 to 5, 10, 12, then he'll just fill more up on the backside of the state or with my other people for 35. Because that's one thing he did say. If I go over the 5 or 10, whatever we do, it'd be back to $35. They're not in the contract. So.
I was going to say that was the one thing is currently we're paying $35 a bed. Yeah. So by entering into this agreement, we're agreeing to pay $10 a night more.
For guaranteeing having those beds.
Guaranteeing to have those beds, yeah.
And then $35 after anything after that number.
Right.
But the other thing is right now we've got, I think there's 7 different counties we've got people at.
Yeah.
And a lot of them a long ways away because the beds aren't there And these could go away too. Obviously, beds are filling up.
They are.
There's been time in the last several months though that you've called down to Washington where you haven't gotten any in.
There were a couple times they had got full, and that was because I think he started looking at some contracts. I know he had a contract with Wichita, and that new sheriff come in, they changed it, so he lost all those. He did some contracting with Salina, Kansas. So state, Salina, and then ours are about the three he deals with. So and he kind of always kind of gives us preference because we've been there first before anything else started happening. So.
Yeah. Well, and our just the rough figures, our costs across the street are $90 a day. So, you know, we're maybe we ought to just send everybody out.
Well, we decided figured some numbers for stuff that 65. That we talked about earlier. The city, and we figured about $64.70 a day.
He brought it Monday.
Monday he brought
if,
it.
Yeah. If we don't figure anything for maintenance or the building.
Yeah, or medical. The $90, Matt, is what they usually do, I think, finding costs. Now that Myron this, or Roger, they set that out, I think, for finding costs.
Yep.
For $90 a day, that's how they set out their fines.
Oh, set out their fines. Yeah. Actually, yeah. They're yeah. Putting that, raising that again. Yeah.
But what's the total jail budget?
That's what we need to actually look at is what the jail actually costs us, and then that puts us right around $100.
There's a sheet on what I gave here, money that's got a breakdown.
If we didn't have a jail, we wouldn't have a jail line item. So if there's exclusions on there, this only shows the number of 568,000, but the budget's 900 and some, so it's almost a million.
Well, you can only charge for when you figure it would be actual cost. I mean, it's what you're looking at least. We're
well,
talking different things.
Operational overall. We don't have any capital expense. Yeah. Just looking at the budget, and divide that by the. I mean, the numbers here 365 and pick a number of 24. But the
our budget's $950,651. That's what we approved for funding.
Possibly, I would more disagree with the $65 a day. I would just take total because that budget has got personnel.
Yeah. Well, this one here was only for dealing with what time about the city. Kind of only go actual costs. That's the breakdown for that. If you're talking overall, yeah, it'd be a different.
Yeah,
you do the whole thing.
Just a ballpark.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's right. I think that's right. $90.
Because it used to be 60 and they've gone to 90 over the years. I know it's finding cost, so they must figure that for some reason. That's the number they come
not
up with.
Not that we want to necessarily put out what our costs are.
Yep.
But, I mean.
Yeah. There's an expense, there's no doubt.
But it's a good deal to get these folks out there. And as we look at a potential capital expense at some point, kind of if there are contracts like that that we can do.
I think we need to look at having some guaranteed beds just for the fact that our numbers are high. I don't believe that the number is 15. I think we're probably more in the ballpark of 10. Maybe maximum. My thought is that we would try and utilize Dawson County as much as we can, whereas we have one transport van, and Gus has been threatening buying a second transport van, and I don't think that is a expense that we want to incur as a county. I don't think that we want to have umpteen million transport vans to run people all over the place. Where Dawson County is willing to transport, they're guaranteeing one time a week. It might end up being two, three. I mean, who knows how many times they'll actually be transporting for us. They're guaranteeing one time a week. So I know we have questions and issues with sending people out to Dawson County, but, you know, they were the first ones to come up with the $45 number. They're offering to help transport. Gus is already telling us we don't have enough manpower. And we're going to spend all this extra time transporting. If we got 15 people down there, we're going to spend all this extra time transporting 54 miles that way and 54 miles back. And I think we should utilize Dawson as much as we can.
If we went and did so many beds at Dawson and so many at Washington, I mean, how would that affect your staffing and stuff? Because, you know, I agree with Gary on the part that now you're not making those trips out there, but I think you talked about it there maybe Monday at our committee meetings that one trip a week may not be enough. Do you have enough, I call them inmates, that would fit?
Well,
I don't know.
What we do now is juggle it, trying to figure out. We try to get the people that are either sentenced or further away on their sentence or their charge, or whatever. The further out they go,
right,
the least chance we can come back right away. Closer, like to Washington, we know we'll come back a little sooner, or wherever we keep them here closer. The problem we do have it out there. I had one in lockdown right now because he fought us. He wasn't going to go out there; too far away. Have attorneys complain about it. I've had a few calls on that. It's a long way. Roger indicated that before. And they don't go that far. They think it's so far away that they can't see friends and family. I said, well, that's not your problem, but I'm not going to have staff sit there and fight somebody physically. We just go through the disciplinary actions and deal with it. But there's advantages out there, as Gary says. They provide transports. One a week concerned me a little bit because I think we'll be doing more. We'll do some transports there probably. But we would just have to play that balance of trying what we're going to put out there. Hopefully we don't have to get them back here soon. But, you know, it's a crystal ball on a lot of that stuff, knowing how it's going to go. So,
Matt, in your Sheriff's Association, are we, as Gage, maybe it's a two-prong question, are we unique in what we're doing about sending these folks out based on our volume? And is our sending folks out by your guests, is that seen as a deterrent or a consequence of their actions that put them in jail? I mean,
they don't like it being sent out away. They don't necessarily mind Washington because that doesn't sound bad, 40, 50 miles, whatever it is. You go 3.5, 4 miles or hours, it's a little different for them. We're not unique. A lot of jails are starting to fill up now, and I think that's why maybe we started talking about trying to guarantee at least some beds for us somewhere because every place is filling up. You know, I think John said we have 7 or 8 counties we have been using on a pretty regular basis, including down here at Washington. So it does affect inmate behavior when they have to go a long ways away. But I try to explain to them, I said, you know, we deal with what we have. You know, our average daily population probably 10 years ago might have been 12 or 15 at best. And now it's 30 because that's all I can hold, not counting the ones we have out. So, you know, it's different dynamic now.
In the association, is there any, I know a former board member that used to sit in this seat brought up the idea of regional jails, and they've approached that. Has there been any discussion in your Sheriff's Association regarding that?
Well, actually, as a whole, probably not. Now, you go out west, demographics are different, so out there some counties don't have jails. So they simply just contract with the closest county to them that has a jail. They handle it differently out there. The regional jail concept, I know jail standards like to see that, pool resources, like we do with the city on some things. But, you know, we started looking at that initially a year or two ago and talked over here in Jefferson County looking at their possibility. But, yeah, I just don't know. I haven't been in a meeting lately to see what the sheriff's thoughts are on it. Everybody's got their own thing they're kind of doing now. Regional would be nice, and at some point, maybe as time goes on, that's something that will probably happen because other jails, there's some others out there probably maybe like ours, you know, similar to it. If they're real bad, they just close them down and then contract out and be done with it. But, yeah, it's an issue.
Sounds like a wonderful concept that if somebody from this board decided to go work up north for 4 years, could take up there and maybe institute some sort of legislation to help that along a little bit.
Well, I did that when I was chief deputy. We had a meeting with everybody in the system and talked about doing regional jail, but everybody wants it in their backyards, what happened, so it didn't go anywhere. So,
Sheriff, on this, you know, with talking about potentially having the city or other municipalities that bring you pay for things, would this be an easier way to build a direct cost back to like the city of Beatrice or someone if you take someone in and you transfer them immediately over to a contracted rate to bill for transport, bill for housing, or not housing, detention, would that make it easier for billing those costs back?
Well, you eliminate some of your costs you'd have here, but you'd probably, it depends if you want to figure in the cost of their facility, because that actually what they're billing us is what they're charging for whatever they want to charge for on that. So I suppose if we charge just for the rate and then figure a little bit of time for travel, might be a lot less hassle. You know, that's a possibility.
That would be easier not than arguing over actual cost.
Well, there's a lot of things you can do on interlocal agreements. I mean, they could cover one of the costs for the two corrections we have, too. I mean, there's a lot of things out there besides hourly for the per diem we charge. I mean, there's several things you look at. But
I still would like... This, while we're in discussion here on guaranteed rooms, if we can get contracts for guaranteed rooms at a third of our actual cost, or, you know, 40% of our actual cost,
15.
It makes it, well, it depends on which number you're at. If our actual cost doesn't take into account any capital expense, any ownership, any building, if we're in the real world, we have to take that expense into account too. This makes an even better argument for closing that facility completely. Just like the sheriff said, close it, get rid of it, and contract everything out. You have a short-time hold. You have long-term contracts. You've got right around $1 million for that facility over there every year.
$150,000.
If you have 70, well, if you have, say, 45 beds, there's $750,000-ish. That leaves a lot of money for driving people around in a short-time hold, which I don't think we'd have, hopefully not consistently, 45 people. But, you know, we may be able to make some deals where we're taking two-thirds of someone else's jail, guarantee that for however long. I mean, if we can get in early before other people do this, this might be a good time to...
Lord knows we got the business, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's one thing. I mean, if we do run short on clientele, sheriff can drum some up pretty quick.
Just a thought, Gus. I mean, if throw this thought out, if we ended up guaranteeing like 5 beds at Dawson and 7 at Washington, I don't know. I mean, I hesitate to put all 12 beds or 10 beds or however you want to out at Dawson just because of the logistics of the travel and stuff.
Agree.
But I think Gary has a valid point that if there's so many of those beds we can put out there, we should take advantage of that because of the transportation. Now, you don't have nobody running back and forth to Washington to transport that person. That's going to be a savings there,
truly,
too.
If we can pick, if we can get the right ones, we know it's going to be out there for a while. Absolutely,
you get the right ones, yeah. and put a little bit lower number out there. But I agree with Gary to take advantage of that because if they're going to guarantee us one trip a week, if you can schedule them, because I don't think you're going to be able to get all 12 scheduled out there for a week at a time.
No, just too many. Five, we can press with 10. Yeah, a little more than that might
five
be.
Maybe
heavy.
I don't know, John. What's your thoughts?
Well, I got two questions. One, we are being billed some attorney fees for travel time to the other sites. You know, so we need to take that in consideration. The other is, how does it affect your staffing when you have a female over here prisoner?
All our females go to Washington.
Right.
Because we need the room here for the males.
And as of Monday, you had 6 of them down there.
Females or just?
Female.
Yeah.
8 total.
Yeah. I'm glad you watched that website. I looked at it
the last Mondays, and here's what we had on Monday. We had 20 engaged, 9 in Dawson, 8 in Washington, 2 Seward, 1 at D&E, 1 at York, 1 at Butler, 1 at Richardson, and 1 in Johnson. That's not very convenient, workable.
Is that because the facilities, the main ones you use, are full?
Probably so. We put them out where we can get them out, and then if we can bring them back or try to get them down. See, if we have females, it's a little more difficult females than males just because of some places don't hold females. So it's, yeah.
How many did you say were in Saline County?
There was none in Saline. There was 2 in Seward.
I will say one more time to the people of Gage County. We should have built and still should build a new facility for our sheriff's department. This is absolutely ridiculous, and the cost we're spending could pay for that jail over a period of years. And I hope this board looks and tries to find some way through this next year of doing this, because we can make a decision to do this in another way.
I
might have said this once or twice before.
Yeah. And we have looked extensively at how to do it. At this point,
we don't have
a resolution.
At this
point, there's no funds.
Yeah.
Even with a bond fund, I don't think that you would be able to fund it at this time.
Yep. I would suggest you talk to, and you're at NAIC, one of you, to the commissioners or supervisor they have up there in Fremont in Dodge County. They entered an agreement years ago. They had a bigger and newer facility than we have, and they closed it and contracted, I think, exclusively with Saunders. I don't think jail standards were real supportive of that. I don't know. I've heard some rumors how it's going, because they still had to have correctional staff to book in and then run back and forth. But it'd be some something to find out from how it's going there. I don't know.
Which county closed theirs?
Fremont. Dodge
Fremont
County.
Did.
Yeah.
Not Dodge.
Dodge.
Okay.
Fremont's county seat.
Do we want to delay this, or do we want to go ahead and have Gus get agreements with so many in each place, or what? I'm open for suggestions here. I don't think a little bit of discussion I had Monday, and what I brought up some questions was about is I don't want us to get 6 months down the road and then we're back to the 30 population and now we've guaranteed so many beds out there. What I'm hearing, all that isn't probably going to be happening.
So this is the guaranteed beds for this agreement only. All we have from the other facilities is a guaranteed price.
From Dawson? Yeah, they just said we do 15 at 45. Now, if we call back, if we say we want to do five, say, for instance, I don't know what his rate will be if it's the same. I mean,
but so Washington is – so Dawson's 15 at 45.
Washington is. And they just said verbally on the phone they do 15 at 45.
Because if the word's going to get out there that we're guaranteeing beds for a certain price. At some point, we're going to house people outside of our own facility and close it to meet the obligations that we're going to put ourselves into with agreements.
That's a concern.
Not an ideal situation. I never said it was.
I mean, on one end, it probably makes sense to house close and get a fixed number of beds at a certain rate. But the other is, it would be nice to just get a rate, so that you're using two facilities and then that's overflow. But if we start, if we're 15 down here,
15. That's what initial talk was. Yes.
For 10 there. At some point, we're running this thing with the same operational cost and then still sending people out.
But we're sending people out at 40% of our costs. So, I mean, sometimes it makes sense to have other people do it for you.
See, what they want to do, same thing I do here, they want to fill the beds. They might not get the amount you need to break even on it, but you got staff, you already got people there, fill the cells and make a couple bucks for the county. That's exactly what I'd be looking at doing.
It's income.
It's a business. It is a business.
It's a business.
So, in theory, we could over-obligate ourselves with these other places and then try to go out and get other people to come to our jail.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Charge more than $45 an hour, though.
Isn't there some...
Said that for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Selene has a new facility, though. How many are... You said there's none there. Why is that?
We do occasionally. We just couldn't come to terms. We had a contract with them just to hold it at a dollar rate, but we got too many turned away. They're just every jail pick and chooses who they want. They want the cream of the crop, if there's such a thing, from inmates, and that's what they were wanting. And they're turning away for things that I thought were not even an issue. But
and is it right? They have about half of their facility just sitting there, basically with the lights out.
Well, I'd heard they had one pod sitting there vacant. Now, that depends on influx. They take both state and federal prisoners, so that could fluctuate depending on sentencing, I suppose, and holds from the U.S. Marshals on a lot of that. But I'd heard that once before, but they could be full now today. You never know.
But if they don't have staff for it, I mean, they're not going to keep rollover staff to keep that part of the jail open. I assume that takes more people.
Well, he runs so many people anyway. I think he's got 17 or 20 staff. So, I mean, he's got one pod empty or not, I think each runs them all the time. There's plenty of things to do, I'm sure.
How many corrections do we have, or how many correction staff do we have?
We have, with administration in the jail, we probably have 10, not counting two that we put in the budget this time around. So we probably have 12, basically.
12, and they have, say, 17. How many prisoners can Selene hold versus us?
I'm thinking it's 96 is what they're, because they added on a few years back. I think 96. Thanks, Ryan.
Your bad ratios.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd like the idea of trying to see how many of these agreements are out there, because maybe we need to look at them as a package instead of just one-offs. If that's the situation, we're kind of going down that road. We probably ought to just find out what's out there. That'll help us plan, help you plan.
Well, how many we look at? Two, three, four?
Who are we? John's got a pretty good list of what
with
we're
any
doing.
Of them?
Yeah. you know, and I'm not sure. I think certainly you need, if you're not going to house females here at Gage County, you need somewhere that's going to house those.
Need somewhere to house those.
And if Washington is working out, I mean, I think we probably end up with an agreement with Washington. And, I mean, my thought is we should do 12 down there or so, you know. And
well, they're used extensively because, one, yep. They had a good price.
Yep.
Even at 45 went that route, that's still about as cheap as anybody else has been at the regular rate for us. So, I mean, we're not really losing.
And it's certainly less travel than some of the others. And, yeah. And we certainly don't want those counties that have one apiece in.
Prefer not. It's just that's how it happened to be there right there. It's, I suppose, I thought it could take and help us out. So.
And Washington may say, if you guarantee them, we'll give you X number of beds at 35. If that's what they're charging. Currently, they may say, you know what, they're filled, they're there. I'm trying to help amortize my expense out.
But he's not going to give us half his facility at 35.
Well, that's what 15 is.
15's half his facility.
Pretty much, yeah. So I don't know what he'd give us.
Yeah. He gives us half of his facility sometimes anyway at 35.
You know, I suppose if he is a business person, he says, if you give me enough, I'll ship all my people someplace a little bit. Then see, that brings into play then. Dynamics for him for transporting back and forth, kind of like we are, so it might not be that good a deal for him if we fill it all up.
We don't care if it's a good deal.
So we need more information, you're saying? We went.
Well, I think so. I think you know, this discussion brings a lot of. Are there? Do they get to pick the attributes of that they take everybody?
They take them in the end. We have not really had anybody come back yet.
So in theory, we could send our cream of the crop down there and then keep the misdemeanors here?
Well, we'll say, how we do it is, we'll, like I was telling mine earlier, it depends what your sentence is or if you're pretrial, when's it coming up next. We kind of gauge it that way, you know, so we're not driving all the time.
Yeah, it's your business. I'll shut up.
There's a little art to it, but staff's got it down pretty good, so, yeah. Okay, I'll check around with some more counties that we use right now and see if they're interested in doing 5 beds or something each or whatever and don't have some idea.
I think so. See,
we can do that.
Yes, and I know, now we don't have it broke, yeah, we do actually have it broke down to females here, but I know you got the information, if on average we got 6 females, then we should look at having 6 beds in Washington County available to us. I would really like to have, I'd like to have the guaranteed price with guaranteed beds without having to sign a dang agreement that says we're going to pay whether that dang bed's full or not.
Yeah, but yeah, that might be asking. I don't know.
It could be asking a bit much. I understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we're on average 6 females, then maybe we better have 6 there and 5 out there. And but whatever. I mean, because where that's is an issue for us where we aren't able to house them here. You know, we need to make sure that we have
for that
something there to cover it.
Yep. Yeah, we can look around a little bit to other counties and see what they're. The thoughts are, because like they said up there, nobody's been ever asked that question before to guarantee some. So you had to ponder on that for a week or so. So
good.
Well, Matt, this would be for you or Gary, either one, Matt. Is that the thought then? Is that what you want to look towards moving to? Is
well, and I don't think we want a whole lot of counties out there, but probably at least a couple of them, and maybe ask them for somewhat of a range of, you know, if we. 10 or 15 or, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 or whatever and see if they'll guarantee those rates at that price and so we can kind of balance them out between the counties that we...
But I mean, on that, is it getting long-term contracts to eventually phase this out and put this into a hold-and-go type?
Well, I think we need to get some contracts in place and...
I agree with John as to see what's out there, but yeah. You know, because
those contracts become a lot more appealing if you don't have the, you know, the 750 grand prior to outside holds over here. You get rid of that expense or the majority of it.
I think we also need to have the conversation then. What you talk about court and court dates and how often they come across the street over to here and then tomorrow they come back. I mean, you know, if you're all outside hold now, all of a sudden you went to Washington today and tomorrow you got to run back and get them, you know, and so on. And
that's something the court would have to deal with. You know, I know there's a lot of. I hate to say it, but prima donnas, they can work with the scheduling of the people, bringing the people in and out. I mean, I know no one likes to say that, but I don't know how the logistics work there, but there can be a schedule, and they can say, when can these people be here? Not, thou shalt be here. There's only one guy that really can say that, and he's not here. Well, a couple of them will give you that.
There's two courts.
Well, two courts.
And I'll be sensitive to this because so that we don't become burdensome from a financial standpoint to the taxpayers, and certainly not to, you know, just be very sensitive that if this is contract negotiation, we probably shouldn't be having the conversation in public. I think we've discussed about what we're talking about. When we're talking about obligating the taxpayers, we need to get the best rate possible
yep.
for those folks. And sure. So it probably ought to...
Well, the other thing
I throw that out there because we're throwing prices around and now we're going to go out and ask for more.
Well, you're out there. You're not the only duck in the pond.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right.
Like Gus is saying, every sheriff almost is looking at this, particularly the ones on around the borders that can go into Kansas, Iowa, South Dakota, Wyoming, because it's viable there.
Roger, why is that viable?
Because it's a shorter distance.
Because would it be because of jail standards?
I don't even go there because they kicked me off that committee.
That appears to be the problem.
Again, the point is, anytime you're talking travel, somebody's paying staff.
Somebody's paying staff.
Transportation. And sometimes those are hidden costs. They're not hidden. You guys see it in the budget. Man, those are hidden. And particularly staffing. Gus knows that. Man. So shorter distances, that's why I just said, you know, Dawson may be an excellent choice. It has been up to this point, but depending on what the legislature does, if all this thing is that we're thinking is going to come true, all of a sudden everybody's jails are going to be full and we're all going to be shopping. And I'm hoping there's an answer that the legislature's been thinking about too, how that's going to happen. How are we going to help the counties in that? And regional jails may be the only resource that or the option that we get to go to. I really don't know the answer to that, but as Gus said, out in western Nebraska, heavens, they've been dealing with a lot of this stuff for a number of years. But if you add to that people that are going to stay incarcerated for 2 years, like around here, heavens, I don't know how many that would bring to our... I know Gus has given a rough estimate of that, but...
You said if they do. I thought you had said
that. I thought they did pass that. Somebody told me they thought they'd pass
that. Well, I don't know when it goes into effect.
Well, yeah. What's affecting us?
You know, they're doing probation. You know, they're trying to do that to lessen the volume of incarcerated folks. And again, that tips the revenue needs into probation. Oh, that's not working out so well right now because they're short a little bit of money. So everybody's got, it's a multifaceted problem. And, you know, what I can tell you is at some point the counties are going to get nailed because we have at least an option to raise revenue to deal with this. And I'm not saying that's what everybody's thinking. I'm sure our local people don't like that. But on the same token, people get arrested. Gus has to deal with them. I have to deal with them. The court has to deal with them. And the public expects to be safe. And they have a right to expect that. And all that stuff starts having a real big friction at a point. And I think we're reaching that critical mass very quickly. And people are getting frustrated. So... I agree with Matt as far as you probably have explored the options you need to look at. Now it's time to sit down, put some numbers to it, and start, you know, negotiating and bringing back proposed contracts to this board.
Hopefully by our next committee meeting, Gus, you can have more things and hope we'll have it.
Let's go and find out.
We'll have it on our next agenda on the 27th again. So.
They can find out.
Thank you.
I got one last question for Gus. When they go to court, is it always they always come across the street and they are in person at court, or does some of it get done by video?
Well, we're in the process right now of trying to get we're the guinea pig for the state on the system we have for this company that we're dealing with. We have video visitation now. We're trying to get video arraignment. We're trying to make sure it's 100% because it's not going to be exactly what the judge wants. It's going to fall on its face. So it's taking a little time to work through that, but that's what we're trying to get to. Now, saying that, we can't do every one like that. The judge made it very clear. Some have to appear in front of him personally. But anything we can do to help limit that number of trips would be fantastic, and that's what we're trying to work towards that.
And how soon are you looking at that might be available?
Well, we've been working on it, it seems like about a year. I'd like to get it done here by the end of the year if we can. It's just the run, it's new software, and they're trying to get he wants a separate laptop computer on his bench, and it's got to do this and do that, and so we're trying to accommodate everybody. And we're in the middle person on it, you know. But I'd like to really get it done into the year if we can.
And if you can do it from across the street, can you do it from Washington or Dawson?
That would have to be something done differently then, because that would be a different facility. We are looking at, actually at, I think, Jabber, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Judge Corson used to do that in district court. They call it. So that's something might be possible, but that's something we'd have to coordinate with those. And we've been thinking about that, too. If we get a contracts, if we can get something set up with them where they can do that.
Okay. That's it.
Whatever we need to do to make the judge happy, as well as I do, we've had this discussion. Keeping them there as opposed to transporting them is safer for the prisoner and for our employees that are having to transport these people back, whether it's here to Washington or
right across
there
to
the courthouse.
Yeah, absolutely.
The safety is
number one.
A big deal there.
Very much
very
so.
Big. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
We'll have it on the agenda next meeting again, Gus. Hey,
thanks, Gus.
Thank you.
Myron?
Yes.
Becky's kind of a quiet person, so I don't know. We've got a highway employee that's been here the whole meeting. I question whether she has something she wants to discuss or...
Which?
That was it.
We got out of order.
We got out of order.
Myron's been out of order all day.
Yes. Look at the agenda. What are you waiting for or whatever? The emergency manager position? Oh, that we did earlier.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Anything else? Jenny? You're just here to watch. Good. And I think everybody remembers Joe from last time, Joe Murray. Nope. He was at one of our previous meetings. So he's back again to watch today. So anything else? Have we covered everything on the agenda?
I think we have. I think got a number beside each item here.
You do? So. Okay.
Yep.
Checking two. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn at 10:57 on the clock.
You want a motion?